Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Sarah Davies, Senior Vice President for VantageScore. Sarah, thanks for joining me today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Karen.
So we're here to talk about a white paper that VantageScore recently published on the concept of score migration, basically to help lenders answer the question, will the consumer that's approved today still be credit worthy tomorrow? Why is that such a relevant question from your perspective, Sarah?
The idea behind credit scores, Karen, is that every time a consumer, let's say, transacts with their credit, you know, their credit card, or makes a payment on their mortgage or their car loan, that possibly has an impact to their credit score. We know that when you make an on-time payment, your score improves, and we know when you run up the utilization on your credit card, your score goes down. And so from a lender's perspective, you know, we need to understand that scores are changing all the time. And when lenders begin to look at who to give credit to in terms of opening a new account or increasing a credit line or extending an installment loan, you know, the question in your mind needs to be, how might a consumer sort of begin to or continue to transact with their credit such that their score could actually deteriorate? So today I might originate somebody because their score is above 620. They're credit worthy in terms of my understanding. And yet over the next 6 to 12 months, they may use credit very heavily and see their score drop pretty significantly. Do you as a lender have any capacity to understand that? And how would you think about lending or originating to the lender, the consumer today, if you knew that their scores were going to deteriorate, if they were going to become higher risk? And so the study here is not intended to give you that answer, but it's intended to give you some sense of the magnitude of score changes, what those score changes are about, and to sort of help sensitize the lender to develop methodologies and let's call it analytic routines to begin to analyze how scores and consumers might become more or less creditworthy over time. So it's trying to create a more longitudinal awareness and sensitivity to score changes.
Got it. So with the framework that you've described that helps lenders at least understand the rails, I suppose, or the boundaries around scores as they might migrate. What is your advice? Do scores really change that dramatically for most people?
Well, the way we ran the study was we pulled a sample of 2 million consumers, and we tracked their score, their credit score on each quarter over a 2-year period. So we essentially sort of built a time series profile of these anonymized consumers and looked at how those score changes. And, you know, what we found out was that sort of pretty uniformly we were seeing a large percentage of consumers, maybe as many, you know, about 50%, who would have a score improvement over a 3-month period of about 20 points.
Hmm.
And about 30% of consumers in that same 3-month period would have a score drop of about 24 points. So there's sort of immediately a couple of questions here. You know, is a 20-point improvement or a 24-point drop significant? The perspective that we have here is that 20 points, 24 points is actually not that significant. When you understand exactly sort of what's going on to drive that size of change in a score, 20 to 24 points is more likely to be changes in credit card utilization. So this month the consumer ran up a balance on their credit card a little more than they had the month before. Similarly, the reverse, you know, to get a 20-point improvement in score, they probably reduced their balance. They didn't use their credit card as much. So we would look at those kinds of changes, 20 to 24, 25 points, in fact, anything under 40 points, and say, you know, that's really just sort of daily credit utilization, credit usage. That's just doing life, so to speak, in terms of a credit world. And from a lending perspective, that shouldn't raise any major red flags one way or the other, quite frankly. It's simply just sort of, you know, daily transactions. When you see changes above 40 points, That's when you as a lender want to, I think, be a bit more aware, especially obviously a drop. A drop in score of more than 40 points is much more indicative of probably a missed payment. So you've actually gone 30 days late on something, and that's more indicative of there's a fundamental reason why you're beginning now to deteriorate in terms of your credit management. And as a lender, you want to kind of think about that consumer in a slightly different way.
Got it. So when I read over the weekend the studies that say consumer credit card debt is now the highest that it's been in a very long time, approaching $1 trillion, that is probably indicative of a swing because of using more credit, but not necessarily a negative impact on the credit worthiness of that particular individual consumer.
Well, it's certainly going to that much, you know, as you say, you know, that much more credit utilization is certainly going to cause those consumer scores to drop. So the scores are going down, but one of the things we have to think about when we're looking at sort of the macroeconomic foundation here is that overall the entire U.S. economy is, you know, is in a very conservative period right now. So even though a score can drop, and so maybe they've dropped 40 or 50 points, so to speak, because their card utilization has gone up quite a lot, that drop in score may not be indicative of a lot of extra risk, because generally scores and their relationship to risk levels, default rates, are actually improving. A 660 credit score these days has a lower level of default risk associated than it did 5 years ago. So we're certainly seeing, let's say, more credit utilization. We're seeing scores probably drop because of that. But given the overall stability of the economy and a relatively conservative environment, it's not necessarily translating to as large of a risk as we might have anticipated.
Do most lenders pay attention to this notion of score migration, and if they don't, what are they giving up as a result?
Yeah, I think the card issuers are pretty savvy, frankly, and I know a number of them that are pulling credit scores on a frequent basis, maybe, you know, even as much as a monthly basis. So they're certainly looking at score shifts and looking to identify, you know, consumers who are keeping a pretty stable score versus those who are going through great swings and stuff like that. And looking for opportunities there, obviously. Where I would say lenders are perhaps less engaged with is this whole idea of, as I've just referenced, of incorporating the underlying risk default rate associated with the actual score. The analysis that we ran or produced within this paper actually shows, you know, how where you see scores changing, you know, you might anticipate, you know, much greater risk, but the reality is because of this conservative environment, the risk isn't as great. So lenders are not necessarily incorporating this secondary layer of aligning default rates to the actual scores as well. And if they did, I think they would find that they have more opportunity because they would see that the risk that is within the portfolio isn't as high as they had anticipated right now. And I'd say in some ways lenders are still missing a bit of an opportunity at the moment.
So your advice as we wrap our conversation, your advice to them would be what?
So two things, I think, and I think this is largely happening, but certainly if you have the capacity and resource, pull in credit scores on a frequent basis, on a monthly basis. I think that's pretty important. Because you've got to have some measurement of movement, but then also begin to incorporate the secondary level of analytics. So you need the internal resources to do that, but update the scores by their actual default rates, and I think you'll find more opportunity there. Or, frankly, as we start to see a swing into greater risk and sort of more volatility in the economy, you're going to be able to offset some of the exposure. So that second piece is probably really very critical to begin to introduce into your credit and analytic processes at this point.
Well, Sarah, thanks very much for your time. Your white paper is something we also have on payments.com, which goes into a lot more detail with respect to the study. and some of the insights that you've observed and the framework that you propose. I really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks very much.